I'm Alex Woodley. I'm a postdoc working with the Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada Research Station in Harrow, Ontario. And today I'm going to be talking about streaming UAN with or without enhanced efficiency products and how it impacted corn yields, ammonia, and N2O emissions. No worries. So in the broadest sense of the term, streaming, in our case, we kind of define it as UAN is kind of applied in discrete bands onto the soil surface, in contrast to kind of like a broadcast application of UAN. It can be applied in kind of several different ways, either through nozzles, like you can see in the top image here, or through drip tubes, where it kind of just dribbles out along the soil surface. But the band placement and the injection height can vary quite a bit in terms of the products used. Here's another couple examples. This is a newer product that's being a lot of interest in our area, which is Y-Drop, which instead of just doing three or four bands across the rows, it places it right near the corn row itself. And then another product that has kind of like individual bands. But in general, that's kind of the premise, is discrete bands onto the soil surface. And there's a lot of interest in our region due to some advantages using streaming. It can be applied late in the season, and it can be used as a rescue end. So if you either can't get on the field when you wanted to, or if you feel you've lost a lot of nitrogen early in the season, you can, because they can be put on booms, they can be applied when the corn is quite a bit higher. There's no soil disturbance with streaming compared to injection. It's more rapid than injection of UAN, and then requires less fuel and horsepower as it's not touching the soil and has to be dragged through the soil like injection. But what are the risks of streaming? And the one we were concerned about was ammonia volatilization. Here's an abridged nitrogen cycle, but what we're concerned about is the urea component within UAN, which is 50%, and it's that urea hydrolysis reaction that causes the pH swing where you can get a lot of ammonia losses. And when you think about conditions favorable for ammonia volatilization loss, you're thinking warm temperatures, low humidity conditions, or drying soils, windy, crop residues, and also soil pH, and also no rainfall or irrigation after application. Irrigation and rainfall kind of act as an incorporation agent. And so in terms of streaming or any type of surface application, you're really upping the chances of these conditions occurring compared to injection. So that's kind of the premise behind a lot of our concerns with streaming. And also there's also enhanced efficiency fertilizers that we've also examined. We also looked at urease inhibitors. So again, we're going to try to delay or and block the conversion from urea to ammonium, allowing either for incorporation to happen through rainfall and to avoid these high losses, especially if it's a surface application. We also looked at using both inhibitors, a urease inhibitor and a nitrification inhibitor, and again, it's just trying to delay from ammonium to nitrate to give it more time to either be taken up by the crop and potentially reduce nitrate leaching or nitrous oxide emissions. And the objectives for this project then were to determine the effectiveness of streaming UAN application on reducing ammonia volatilization, N2O emissions, and increasing corn grain yields. And within that, looking at the effectiveness of a urease inhibitor alone or a urease and nitrification inhibitor on reducing, again, ammonia volatilization and N2O emissions. So the work was done at the Harrow Research and Development Center at the Woodsley Field Site. It was in the Brookston clay loam soil. And in 2013 and 2014, the treatments we looked at were streaming UAN alone, streaming UAN with a urease inhibitor, and streaming UAN with a urease and nitrification inhibitor, which I'll call dual inhibitors. And then we also compared it with injection UAN as almost a positive control, and that was part of a larger study looking at some other placement methods. It was applied at side dress at 130 kilograms nitrogen per hectare, and we did have some starter fertilizer at pre-plant. So here's an image of us streaming UAN. You can see a very grainy image of the actual nozzles and jets, and here it is in between the corn rows. And here's an image of us injecting in between the corn rows. So for measuring ammonia volatilization, we use the wind tunnel method. And so the basic premise here is that we have a known area of 1 meter squared underneath these domes. We apply a known amount of fertilizer representative of 130 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. We then draw air across this space at 4.5 kilometers an hour, which is equivalent to what we found in the field. And this white line, this white tubing here, is then subsampling the air and putting it through an acid trap, so any ammonia that's lost will be captured in the acid trap, and then we can run it on a flow injection analyzer. So we have a known area, known amount of fertilizer, a known volume, and we can able to generate daily fluxes. And that was done over 28 days after application. N2O was also completed, measured weekly from May to October using a static chamber method. So in 2013, the ammonia volatilization, on the top graph is the daily fluxes, and the bottom graph is the cumulative fluxes. You can see right off the bat there was a lot of fluxes occurring. The majority of the losses happened right after. In 2013, we applied late in the season. It was extremely hot, 30s, and kind of drying conditions, kind of ideal conditions for ammonia losses. And we saw that right off the bat, and where it declined by day five or so. In terms of differences between the injection and the streaming, there was a lot of variability, and there was no significant difference between the ammonia loss between streaming and injection, so the red and the blue. It was quite a bit of a different story in 2014. We applied early in the season. It was cooler conditions, cooler soils, kind of drier soils, and we didn't really see any losses until about day 10, but they were very low-level losses and really no difference between the treatments. In terms of N2O emissions, on the top graph, we have, again, these daily fluxes. The bottom graph, we have the cumulative N2O. This vertical dotted line is when we applied the fertilizer. You can see here, the first rain event occurred at the start of August, and you see this large flux occurring. And at the top, you can see the injection treatment had the highest N2O. And between the rest of the treatments, there really wasn't any significant difference between them. And at the end, it just kind of was all clouded by variability. But the injection tended to be a little bit higher. When you looked at the two-year N2O emissions, 2014 was a lot lower. Again, similar kind of ranking of emissions. You can see here that using the UAN for the streaming by itself, you kind of got you have low-level emissions relative to using a urease inhibitor by itself. And what is likely occurring here is that in the UAN, you're losing more nitrogen through ammonia volatilization, so there's less inorganic nitrogen in the soil for N2O to be produced. When you have a urease inhibitor, you are preventing ammonia volatilization loss, but you're not preventing nitrification, and so you have higher N2O. We found that if we use both inhibitors, we were able to reduce that pollution swapping from occurring. Now, the mysterious thing was the corn grain yields were quite a bit lower for the streaming treatment compared to the injection, even though we had similar ammonia losses and similar N2O emissions. And between the streaming treatments, there wasn't a lot of difference. Inhibitors really didn't affect yield. But between streaming and injection, there was a large difference of 2.1 tons per hectare. And that got us thinking of why that could have occurred. And what we found is there was higher soil inorganic nitrogen in the injection treatments. So what likely happened was when we installed the wind tunnels, we had to put in power lines, and it takes several hours of delay between the application and the launch of the wind tunnels. And so we suspected maybe within those hours we lost a lot of ammonia with a streaming treatment that we didn't capture. So that prompted us to do additional ammonia measurements in 2015 and 2016. And so instead of applying it with machinery, we simulated it with using syringes. And the immediately after application, we then turned the wind tunnels on. So then we were really able to see if those losses are occurring right off the bat. And then we also compared it with injection. And what we found here is within the first 4 hours, we were getting high levels of losses in the ammonia treatments for the streaming, and really none with the injection. And over the course of 2015, we saw quite a bit higher losses in the ammonia in the streaming treatments, which we didn't see in the first one. We had that delay of wind tunnel capture. 2016, a little different story. Again, it was cooler, kind of similar to that 2014 system. And we saw, again, though, that streaming UAN did have higher losses, especially when we started capturing it right after ammonia volatilization. So in summary, there was no significant differences between ammonia losses between injection and streaming in 2013 and 2014. But when we simulated it and started measuring the ammonia losses immediately after application, we saw 3.6-fold greater losses from the streaming compared to the injection. And we really think that's likely what occurred in 2013 and 2014 to get that kind of missing yield difference. There really wasn't any N leaching going on, and there was higher inorganic N levels in the soil. So something happened to the loss, and we likely lost, especially in that 2013 year where it was extremely high losses. That's what occurred. And injection of the UAN had on average 20% greater grain yields than streaming did. And the inhibitors did not mitigate ammonia losses or improve crop yields. And that's kind of in contradiction to what was found in the same field site looking at different applications in terms of broadcast and injection with inhibitors. The inhibitors were effective. So again, we might have lost some of the effectiveness in terms of ammonia volatilization losses during that initial first day losses. So the take-home message really is that streaming UAN tends to place N in risk of high losses compared to injection. Inhibitors likely influenced ammonia losses, but key losses were not captured. Some hints that it did occur was that pollution swapping event we saw. We saw that using a urease inhibitor tended to have higher N2O levels, whereas using none had lower levels N2O losses. So that was likely due to those ammonia losses. So there's hints that's what occurred, and then the 2015-2016 kind of confirmed that. And pollution swapping likely occurred with the urease inhibitor alone, while using both inhibitors reduced both the ammonia losses and the N2O losses. So in our region, in those 4 years that we looked at it, it appeared that streaming was not really effective for our strategy on a clay loam soil. I'd like to acknowledge Fertilizer Canada and the Agriculture and Agri-Food Agri-System Productivity and Health Program for providing funding for this research project. Thank you.
We got a few minutes for questions. If anybody has any questions?
It didn't look like the losses that you were measuring from the soil were high enough to equate to a 2-ton yield difference. Do you think that that's all related to the...
Well, so the 2015, we had max losses of about 10. In that year where we had huge losses in 2013, we were getting 40. So if you scaled it up to the equivalent of what was lost in that kind of crazy loss year, then it would likely be that component. We did a nitrogen balance, and there was about always 20 to 40 kilograms missing in the streaming, whereas the injection, it kind of all lined up in terms of no missing component.
So speaking to that rock, I know you said there was no statistical significant difference between the injected and the other treatments. So you had that much variability in just that year, or that much variability across all the study years?
All the study years. There was another paper published on this in the 2013 doing injection and broadcast, and there was quite a bit of difference between the inhibitors. But in this, in terms of streaming related to injection, there wasn't, yeah. Yes. So I would love to, and there likely was differences going on. We just didn't capture it in that first. And streaming seems to be prone to it. I mean, if we had started capturing it immediately, I probably would have been a different story because we saw it in the yields. There was likely an improvement. So that's kind of that's why we did that additional years, because we knew something was going on. We just couldn't really articulate it.
Any other questions for Alex?
So this was all based on streaming. Did you do anything that was just purely a broadcast?
Broadcast UAN?
Yeah.
No, the literature, like there's been work done in the 90s that showed it to be almost always lower yields, and it's not really done too often anymore in that region. So there's a lot of interest in like these products like Y-Drop, and we thought we'd want to take a look at that on terms of the ammonia volatilization side of things.
All right.
Okay.